Hi, this is Alex Moulton. Until recently, I was the founder of Expansion Team in New York City. In January of this year, we became part of boutique ad agency Eyeball, which you can find out more about at eyeballnyc.com. I've been asked to answer a few questions here, the first of which is, what is my personal criteria for excellent audio branding? The best examples of audio branding are ones with the most consistency. Of course, I'd love every audio brand to sound great and grab you emotionally, but I think consistency across touch points is more important in the end. I can think of quite a few audio brands or sound logos that are annoying as hell, but they're really effective. And isn't that the point? That said, I've never once pushed for a client to go for the sticky route, that jingle that gets stuck in your brain just because it's catchy. I think the better long-term solution is to create an audio brand that's malleable and can grow with a brand as it evolves and has some solid psychological and strategic reasoning behind it. I've also been asked how I first got into audio branding, so I'll see if I can answer that. Some of my very first jobs working with music to picture were audio branding, but in the year 2000, I don't think the industry and knowledge base existed the way it does now. At least, I didn't know anything about it. The first big branding projects I worked on were for American TV networks like Showtime Next and Comedy Central and an indie film distributor called Film Movement. It wasn't until about 2009 that we realized that half of our revenue was coming from audio branding. By that point, there was a really strong movement and conversation starting about best practices and client education. So it's no accident that it happened around the same time that devices like the iPhone became mainstream, along with Facebook and YouTube. The amount of touch points that could carry meaningful audio branding grew exponentially in the space of those couple years. I think audio branding is one of the most fascinating areas of marketing and psychology right now. There are others, like olfactory branding or haptic response, but the technology doesn't exist yet to really bring theory to life in those arenas. Whereas personal devices that deliver quality audio are now intrinsically linked to everyday life. And it makes for a fascinating study of how people use audio and music to trigger emotion. I expect the next decade to bring some really groundbreaking work in this field. As we see our devices linking us across the planet, the theories behind audio branding can do a lot more than just help sell products. They can really enrich our lives and give us better relationships with our technology. And once we've educated the next generation about the possibilities, they're going to be able to make audio do things we can only dream about. The last question posed to me was, how do I feel about the Audio Branding Congress and what can attendees expect to take away from it? That's a really easy question to answer. I so enjoyed hosting the Congress last year in New York City, and this year I'm very excited to see it move to Oxford. It's really incredible to meet other people from around the world who are thinking about the same ideas, but from different angles. There's an international community that's starting to grow, and the Audio Branding Congress is the only place, the only day, where we all meet every year to check in with each other. It's completely unique in that respect, and that's why it's so special to me. But I also love it because it's a day of inspiration. There's something really wonderful about thinking you know a lot about a subject and then having your mind blown by somebody else's case study. I really am looking forward to being on the jury for the Audio Branding Award this year. We had some fantastic case studies last year, and I'm sure this year won't disappoint. And I look forward to seeing you in December.